Question number one, which fast food restaurant do you prefer?
100%? Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. What?
Yeah. The Lord's Chicken. Okay. All right. There you go. The first couple questions were just so that, you know, in case we had any technical issues. So, all right.
Yeah. All right.
Here's our last one.
All right.
Well, what we want to do is for the next 30 minutes or so, because we want to end on time, because I want you guys to be able to get down for our communion service to end our day. But just want to talk about, one, the reality for some students to kind of drift away from church involvement, church participation, both going into the high school years, and then, of course, the transition from high school into college or the workforce, and just, you know, talking about maybe some practical ways that as parents we can be aware of this and kind of work to counteract it if we see it happening. It's not something that, you know, every student is, but there are studies and trends that show that students can tend to kind of drift away. And so just being aware of that, and you know, you might even find that you might have, you know, other parents, couples that you see this happening, and ways that we can be an encouragement to one another. So that's kind of where we're going to go here just for the next few moments. So, Father, we just thank you, God, that you know us, you know our children, you know their future. And I just pray again for your hand of blessing over every family here right now, God, that you would be working to bring any children who have not yet made a confession of faith in Christ to that point. Those that have, I pray that you would grow them, give them just a passion to live their lives committed to you, Lord, that they would see that you have a purpose and plan for their lives. I pray your encouragement over these parents. God, just meet whatever needs are in their homes. Father, remind them of your tangible presence in their lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's go to our PowerPoint here. And so just a study by Lifeway Research says that about 66% of teens that regularly attend church as a teenager say they dropped out for at least a year between the ages of 18 and 22. Some of you on our last question said that that was you. And you know, one of the things is it's not this kind of dropout or drift. It's not necessarily because they have a rebellious heart, as we're going to talk about. It's not that they're just, you know, angry with God or rebelling against their home. Sometimes it's just life gets busy, or like for me, at 18, well, I wasn't even 18. I was 17 when I started college, and I actually went to Bible college. But I moved 1,100 miles away from home, so came from New England to Chicago. You know, started, you know, making new friends in this, you know, just incredible city for the first time. And so it was not out of a rebellion towards God, but, you know, when you get introduced to the incredible Lakeshore Drive, you know, and walking and seeing, you know, the city at night, or even more so, you get addicted to deep dish Chicago pizza. Saturdays, you know, after being in class all week, Saturdays, you know, was hanging out with friends, or, you know, trying to cram in some of the homework. And Sunday mornings for me, in my first 2 months at a Bible college, it was very easy for me to become a regular attender of Bedside Baptist Church. All right. Where, you know, again, it wasn't out of a rebellious heart for God, But it was just, I made other things a priority, and church just kind of became, if I'm not too tired, if I'm up in time. So I just want to encourage you that it's not, if we start to see this, it's not just because our kids have a rebellious heart. But there is, you know, data to show that it is somewhat of a common occurrence. It's down 4% from 2007, but, you know, 69% say that they were still attending at age 17. That drops down to 58% at age 18 and drops even further at age 19. And then, you know, by age 20, one in three said that they were attending church regularly. So really my goal for today is just to talk about what I hope are just some practical ways to help us be intentional about working in the lives of our children to help them see the value and importance of being part of a community. One of the things we don't want to do is we don't want, you know, going to church or being part of church to become a chore, right? You've probably heard Pastor Cal say it. You know, how many have heard the old adage, you know, when I was a kid, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday. You know, what we want to do is we want to try to foster in the hearts of our children, one, that God created them with gifts and abilities. God made them as followers of Christ to be involved in the church, which is the God-ordained, you know, structure for carrying the gospel out. And so that's what we're wanting to do here. So again, just some really interesting reasons here. So top five reasons that church dropouts say they stopped attending church. Again, we're looking at, you know, adults ages 23 through 30 who, you know, at least for a year in high school dropped out. 34%, I moved to college and stopped attending church. I'll go back to my story just quickly. I had an RA my freshman year. God really used him to help hold me accountable. Myself and a couple other freshmen, he said, hey, we're going to start meeting every week. I want to start discipling you. That was the first time that, you know, the concept of discipleship, you know, really was introduced to me. And I remember one Sunday he came back from church. I was kind of sitting in our lounge. Every dorm floor had a lounge, and a couple of us were sitting there. And he walked in. He's like, where'd you go to church today? We didn't. He's like, great. Next week, you're coming with me. And God really used him to, you know, help hold us accountable to the importance of being connected. You guys know it's not just checking off that I went to church. Church is filled with people who go, say, I went. Maybe they got something out of it. Maybe they, you know, are really hoping to grow. Or maybe for some, it's just a matter of saying, hey, I'm a good Christian. I'm in church every Sunday. It's more than that. We want our kids, we want for ourselves, for it to be a place where, one, we can go, we can grow, we can be encouraged, we can experience corporate worship so that we are prepared for the opportunities that God has for us throughout the week. Church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical. So you can see, you know, again, just variations of reasons why some people say they stopped going to church. This one's huge. Number three, I didn't feel connected to people in my church. And you know, working with students, you know, I come across students who aren't involved. Maybe they're not involved in youth group or that. And you know, when I learned that they don't have connections, that's why, you know, not only as a student pastor, but also as a parent, wanting to help my child make good connections. And that goes back to that community that we were talking about earlier today. I disagree with the church with their stance on political, social issues, or my work responsibility prevented me from attending. But again, we can always find reasons to not be involved in, not be going to, not be committed within the church. And so just trying to fight against that. But there is another season or drift that sometimes takes place as students transition into high school. Academic intensity. You know, when you go from middle school to high school, schoolwork's going to get a little bit more involved. How many of you have kids that are taking like AP classes or dual credit? You know, there comes you know a little bit more academic work there, sports or extracurriculars. Now even compared to when I was a kid, you know, some of these different sports can literally be played all year long. Indoor soccer was big. You know, now I know even you know last weekend. At the Louisville Slugger, there was a big girls softball tournament. So, you know, sports, friends, maybe the pressure, hey, my friends don't go. I want to hang out with my friends, things like that. Maybe families. There are some families that maybe when their kids are younger, it's important for them to go to Sunday school, church. But as they get older, if the head of the family isn't committed to church, then it could become less of a priority even for the students. And then again, just worldview implementation. That is, our kids get older, they're going to decide what's important. What do they value? And when given the freedom to make the choice to go to be involved or to not, some may just get to the point where they say, it's really, I don't see the value in it anymore. And so what we want to do is just talk about ways that we can counteract church drift, church dropout, however you want to use it. The first is just family discipleship. This is where as a family, we're committed to bringing the word into our home, making time for just discussions, for prayer as a family, doing family ministry. So what I want to do is I kind of want to pause, I'd kind of like to hear from you guys if you're open to sharing. What are things that you've tried or that you've done, maybe in this category of just family discipleship, where you might bring encouragement to others that are here today. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, did you read my notes? Because that's actually another point, is just doing service together. So, but yeah, that's a great opportunity to model for your kids, just loving others practically. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Maybe it's just me, but it's hard, especially as our kids get older, to hold that time together as a family, you know, especially if you have multiple. How many of you have more than two kids? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You know, when they get to that age and, you know, one's going in this direction, you really have to be intentional about making that time together. Obviously you can prepare like, you know, a Bible study lesson, a family devotional, but even just, again, just having those conversations, really are important, in helping just building, as we talked about before, that biblical worldview in your students, in your children's lives. Family discipline, so spending time where God's word, you know, is taught in the home. That's something. Growing up, you know, I had two parents that I knew loved me. I knew loved the Lord. They made sure that we went to church. But I can honestly say I don't recall one time either my mom or my dad ever having like family devotions or ever having family prayer time. We would have meals together, but there was never any intentional spiritual discussions. That was something that, you know, we tried to address more. My wife came from a broken home, and so it wasn't always part of her growing up too. But it really takes intentionality and commitment. But that is one way that we can invest in our kids' lives, as you guys know, that can be really impacting for them, and really help them be developing just the right heart and mind process of seeing the importance of it. Deuteronomy 6, I think it was Gary who quoted this this morning. I said he took all my good material. But again, you know, here this passage just impresses, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Here, I really don't see this being, you know, the, hey, let's sit down and have a Bible study. I see this, hey, as we do life together as a family, you know, let's keep it centered around God and his word. This really is just really a strong passage to remind us of the importance of keeping God at the center of our homes. Another way to counteract church dropout is just accountability. Let me explain, you know, what I mean here by this, but parent child. Holding our kids accountable. This again requires us to have the courage to, you know, have those sometimes hard conversations. Even just asking, and I think your example of, you know, what are the highs and lows, is just a good way to start having those talks with our kids. Hey, how was your day? What's something, you know, or even, you know, the God sightings. Where did you see God working today? Did you see God working today? Is there anything that, you know, you're struggling with? But that accountability that we have between us and our children, the accountability between parent and parent. So husband and wife, having that accountability, that shared effort of how we're going to raise our children. But what I also meant by this is having other parents that you're on the journey with. If you know that, hey, we have other, before our kids were born, we got together with another couple. They didn't have any kids. And we actually just started praying for the kids that God may bless us with. When you have other couples that are going through the same stage of life, where you can find strength and support, can be just a great asset for you. Then of course there's, you know, parent, youth pastor, leaders. That's something that I value. Student ministry is not just, you know, to students. It's as much a ministry to parents. And so wanting to foster just that open relationship with the parents of kids that are coming into our student ministries, knowing that, you know, as best as we can, we want to be a resource for parents. We want parents to know that they can find prayer. We're here to, you know, walk alongside you as you parent your children. And so having a good relationship there is something that, again, I personally value. You know, working with parents is critical. And then again, you know, just, you know, for students having a good open relationship with them. And again, we have incredible leaders that are part of our student ministries. And so helping students to know that they have godly men and women who are committed to loving Jesus, loving them, but also as parents, we don't want parents to feel like, hey, we're trying to parent on our own. We feel like we don't have any support or anything. We want to provide support for parents as well. So Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us not consider one another, or let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so that much the more as you see the day approaching. And then again, as iron sharpens iron. And so it's just this idea of accountability and knowing that you have a team of people there to help you as you're raising your kids. Third is just teaching and model the importance of the church. So, you know, attending regularly as a family. And then parents serving in ministry as an opportunity for us to help our kids see the importance and value of being connected with the body, that we as parents have a chance to model that for our kids. And then here we have Acts 42. And I just highlighted just some key words in this passage. So again, there was a devotion to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread into prayer. Everyone was filled with awe that many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were. designed to be first steps to help them discover how God's made them, get connected to see what ministry could be like. And then the hopes is that maybe they'll say, hey, served on the tech team. I really love working with computers or cameras or sound, that we might then be able to get them plugged in to serving on a regular basis. On Sunday mornings, we have a number of our students that, you know, are running cameras in there. We have students that run our tech on Wednesday night and on Sunday mornings. There might be students that are like, I really love younger kids. Would love to get them plugged in and helping with Discovery Land. And so, you know, even if a student has an area of interest that Northwoods doesn't have a ministry for, one of the things that we want to do is maybe help get them connected. If there's a community ministry, that we can get them connected, even if it's outside of Northwoods. So the example I use is sports ministry. All right. So if we have a student that's like, I just love sports, and I think God could really use me with my love of soccer or something like that, you know, I'm thinking, hey, I'm calling Chad Bailey at the Christian Center. I'm getting a hold of Cole Espensheed at Fellowship of Christian Athletes and saying, hey, we have a student that may want to go into sports ministry. Could they come and shadow? And so that's really the heart of this ministry shadowing program, is to give students a chance to get their feet wet and discover how God can use them. We're going to end here in a little bit. What I have on the table is just kind of an overview of the MSP if you're interested in looking through that. It also has a sample of the application that the student would fill out. But one of the things that that we're committed to is being a resource and a support for parents to walk along the journey. You know, we have a chance to impact your students from the time they're in seventh grade until they graduate from high school. And we want to make sure that parents that are coming to Northwoods know that you don't have to do this on your own. We want to be a support to them. So I just want to open it up to see if you guys have any questions or comments. And then if not, we'll close and you guys can get down in time for our wrap-up. Those are easy questions. I can answer those. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and that's a great way to just help them form the discipline of being in the Word. You know, again, so often, I know I've been there too, where it's become like a chore, you know, or we have good intentions, but yeah, just doing that as a family, you're modeling for them the importance of bringing God's Word into your life.